Welcome to the Not All Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelson. What more can be said of Scott Hamilton, our guest today? Scott Hamilton remains one of the world's most recognized male figure skaters, and he has stared down the biggest quadruple jump of his life, surviving both cancer and three brain tumors. Today, Scott Hamilton lives in Nashville and is an author, a broadcast commentator, and he just participated in his ninth Winter Olympics. Award-winning author of the new book, Finish First, New York Times bestseller, and Olympic medal-winning ice skater, Scott Hamilton joins us today on the Not Old Better Show via Skype. Scott Hamilton, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be a part of this. Thank you so much for helping me promote the book and for everything else we're doing.
Well, good. Well, thank you for your time today. And let's start with a question about the book, Finish First, which I loved, by the way.
Thank you.
Absolutely. What inspired you to write Finish First about winning in life, about winning in whatever?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I've been doing a lot of speaking. I've been doing a lot of things, and I've written a couple books, and I was just sort of like, something was nagging at me that there's another message in there. And so I was sitting with a friend who's an author, and I just said, I just feel like there's something I need to be doing, And so this friend who actually wrote the foreword of the book, Donald Miller, mm-hmm. He said, what about winning? And I go out and he goes, well, it's like winning. You know more about winning than anybody I've ever met. We started talking about how we live in this kind of participation trophy society, and people are starting to get to this point of entitlement, and we just need to kind of re-inject the idea that competition is good, and that and then I started going through this, it's like, whoa. And so we had this really amazing collaborative process where we sort of just went through the whole thing, and then we wrote the book, and it's really an amazing thing, when you start to process my past and, kind of where I was in my days where I was really struggling, I was losing every competition, basically, and I was, just losing important ones and failing tests, and I just didn't understand the whole process, of what it takes to be successful in anything, and I had to figure it out. And I realized there's a lot of people like me out there that just haven't really figured out how to move forward and how to, go after the things they really want to go after. And so many are paralyzed by failure or even the promise of failure, or they don't really want, have anybody, criticizing them, and critics or anything else. And some just really don't know where to start. And so we put together Finish First, and it's been a really wonderful process. And we really feel like, that it's a great message for the time. And it's also, really meant to help people get, into their true lives, their lives that they've wanted to live, that they really feel like they should. And in that way, change the trajectory of so many people who want to live victoriously. So Finish First is a labor of love. And, the more I see how it's touching people, the more I know that we're totally on the right on the right page, literally.
Yeah, it really is the right message for the time. And do you think we're confusing winning with achieving today?
I think, winning is, really about leveraging all of, leveraging who you are, what you're capable of, what are your skill sets, really just leveraging those to take it to its greatest identity, and it doesn't always have to be strictly like, a competition. Sometimes it's competing with yourself. Sometimes it's competing with others. And I really believe that competition is good. I believe that, we've kind of, dumbed it down a little bit, or with, well, we don't really want to, for young people to have to process failure because we think it's, you know, it's debilitating. But I feel like, you know, failure is just information. You know, I don't think that failure is something that we need to look at as something that, you know, leaves scars or disfigures in any way. It's failure. I mean, it's you remember it. It doesn't feel good, yes, but I think it gives us, you know, the kind of feedback, if we allow it to be that way, to move us forward and to teach us, you know, by the way, don't do that again. You know, it's the old hand on the stove thing, you know, it's right. All right, you know, I don't need to do that because I've seen others do it. Or, you know, I have put my hand on the stove and I know that, you know, it doesn't feel great. And, you know, what inspires us to rise up above our limitations besides failure? You know, I joke, you know, in a way that if I had to, you know, create a recipe for success, the single largest ingredient would be failure. And so, you know, we just really feel like there's a lot of people out there and, you know, I get stuck like everybody else. And, you know, where do you begin? Where do you change? Where do you adjust? Where do you find the information you need to move forward? And we just felt like Finish First was a really good answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, I know faith is important to you, and it's an important component in the book. One of the passages from the book that I loved, and I know my audience will love too, is when you write about, you have a sentence, you say, God has always promised to do more than we could ever ask. It's just that so few of us take him up on the offer.
Yeah.
Why don't we?
I think a lot of it's just rooted in fear, others, you know, and just perceived or imposed limitations. I'm the guide in this, you know, kind of publication. I'm the most unlikely person to be in my position that there is. And I figure that if I can do it, anyone can. And I honestly never thought to even ask for a lot of the things that were going to, that would happen to me. I never thought to dream any of that until I just, through the process of growing and the process of working through my limitations, I understood that things were becoming available to me. You know, and it was all these little victories or these medium-sized victories of, you know, getting over my my failing ways of, you know, getting to a point where now I could start taking information specifically and applying it, and not where I could, you know, learn that, you know, those falls, you know, like those five falls that put me in last place at my very first national championship event, that they were really important. Those were building blocks for, you know, who I'd become later on. That, you know, if you can step on the ice and know that, well, I came out and I was ill-prepared and I fell five times and I came in last, I go, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, once you experience that and I realized, wow, I'm still here. And, you know, there are no visible scars and, you know, and I can actually look forward to getting back to work. And, you know, that'll never happen again until, well, the next year when I only fell twice and I came in 9th out of 10, you know, it's a process and it takes a while. It's not just this one decision that allows us to move forward and be successful. It's a lot of small decisions and some big ones. And if we're true to ourselves and our mission, then nothing can really stand in our way.
Scott, you're an inspiration for so many, and we love having you around and cherish all that you're doing. So I just have to ask you, how's your health?
Yeah, it's good. It's better than it should be, I guess, right now. It's you know, I have my unique hobby of collecting life-threatening illness, and you know, I'm on my third brain tumor, and this one has just sort of a different identity. You know, I didn't feel like I needed to kind of respond immediately and go get this thing treated, get it out, get it, whatever. You know, I didn't panic this time. The first time was radiation, and then 6 years later it came back. And it was a surgery that had its complications. And then 6 years later, it came back. And this time I just thought, you know, I just want to get strong. You know, I just feel like, you know, I'm, you know, I this urge to, you know, and I think it might've been, you know, just the awareness of, you know, kind of divine intervention in a way that just get strong, you clean up your, you know, your diet, clean up your, the way you live. And just let's keep an eye on it. That's, you know, the only thing I was feeling. And wow, you know, I did all that. I eliminated some awful things in my diet, and I got to work, got, you know, started getting stronger physically and mentally and spiritually. And I really just dove into all of it, just health, just let me be healthy in every way that I possibly can. And miraculously, the last two scans have shown that the tumor is shrinking and no one can explain it. You know, I give all glory to God always. I know this is something that he's giving me. I don't know why, but I'm going to remain faithful and I'm going to, you know, continue to do all the things that I enjoy doing and working. And I'll just keep an eye on it to see if it decides to disappear altogether. But when this tumor has appeared every 6 years, the last three times, it's kind of like, okay, there's a pattern here. Let's break the pattern right now and just get healthy and just be as strong and as vital as I can be and continue to move forward and not get stuck, you know, just being living in fear. And so I did that, you know, and it seems that that has been rewarded with so far a tumor that's receding instead of advancing, which is its nature.
Well, thank you for that. And we're thrilled to hear that you're healthy. Absolutely. For somebody, though, who's battled cancer and fought these brain tumors, you know, as an undefeated, you know, ice skater and an expert broadcaster, I read something surprising about you, that you actually hate competition.
I dreaded it every time. No, I love the process of, I love the training. I love the improving. I loved, you know, kind of chipping away at my weaknesses. I loved all of that. And, you know, honestly, I go into, you know, I go ready, I'd be fine, I'd be great. And the whole day leading up to a competition or any competitive event, I'd be like, oh, why do I do this? Why do I put myself through this? And then, you know, I always say, you know, as much as that day was, you know, excruciatingly, you know, painful, you know, filled with anxiety and fear, the 10 minutes after I won was like the greatest feeling of all time. So, you know, I would, you know, grow to be, you know, in the process of, you know, learning how to be more competitive and learning how to prepare and learning all those things. It's, you know, it never got easy, but I understood the process of, well, now I get to feel those 10 minutes of, you know, just the afterglow of a victory and just like, ah. Oh. And then after the 10 minutes were up, it's like, okay, back to work. You know, so, you know, it's the same for a lot of people. It's like, you know, you don't mind the preparation. You don't mind that work that goes into, you know, preparing yourself for whatever that is, whether it be in, you know, academics, athletics, or business, or whatever. You know, that whole presentation thing, like, well, now it's, you know, the rubber hits the road, and I've got to do this. It's awful. But after you get done and just that, you know, that feeling of, oh, I did it. You know, I stood up to this challenge and I was able to get to the, you know, get through it. I think there's a victory there that, you know, is amazing and beautiful.
As I say, you really are an inspiration. And one of the things that I learned about you that I thought was just so important is this kind of this two sides of life, the almost the extremes that you've lived. You know, you're this world-class athlete, you're a cancer survivor, you're a present-day cancer survivor, and as you say, that the tumor is shrinking, but it's recurring. You have lived with uncertainty and hope. What do you tell people who live with uncertainty and hope, and they pray for comfort and resolution, but then maybe they don't have their prayers answered?
You know, I do think there's opportunity each day, you know, for us to find incredible joy in every opportunity. And so much of it is just this decision, you know. You know, pretty much the most content people I've ever met, you know, I go, what is it? And they say, it's truly a decision. I just decide that this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, it's there's a producer and director from NBC Sports. And, you know, whenever we go into an Olympics or any other of these competitions. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of moving parts. And we started this kind of almost a ceremony where we call it our blood oath, where we're going to be joyful throughout, no matter what's thrown at us, no matter what, you know, kind of things can sidetrack us or pull us away from being joyful in the moment. You know, it's like we're just going to choose right now that it's our blood oath. No matter what happens, we're going to be happy. We're going to be positive. We're going to be, and it is a decision, because there is so much that comes at us each day that is really can be debilitating and stressful and harmful. But, you know, once you make the decision that you're going to be okay, and no matter what comes, you're going to face it with joy. You know, my wife said in an interview last summer, she said, you know, joy isn't the lack of pain and suffering. It's how you go through it. And I was like, wow, that's really profound, because there's a decision that goes into that. So, you know, regardless of what's happening in my life, I always try to decide that I'm going to be relaxed, and I'm going to be joyful, and I'm going to be a source of, you know, kind of refuge for anyone that really is, you know, kind of suffering through it. And, you know, again, that was a big part of the reason for this book is, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are afraid to launch, that are afraid, you know, that if they do go forward with, you know, something that is a dream, or, you know, something that they just feel like they could do and they don't do it, there's that lifelong regret, you know. And I'm here to encourage people that, you know, that if you have a skill set, you know that you need to really address it and take it to the next level. You know, life is not a dress rehearsal. It's life. And we've got, you know, our seasons, and we've got our whatever our time is here. And we you know, got to take advantage of those collections of moments to really be able to live our lives joyfully and productively. And I really feel like Finish First is a great resource to learn how to do that.
Yeah, I have to say again, I love the book. It really is all about, you know, pushing forward and just kind of persevering, keeping it up, keeping going. You certainly have done that. I met you, last question, because I know you're super busy today, but I met you at Roots Tech 2018 and talked to you briefly there. I didn't say this guy, I kind of chickened out, Scott, but I have Walked This Way on my iPhone playlist. And I thought about playing a few notes there for you. Do you think that's your most memorable performance?
You know, it's one of them. You know, I think I joke that the only person that's done Walk This Way more than me is probably Steven Tyler. But, you know, it was just one of those things where I thought it'd be really fun, because I'm a classic rock guy, and mm-hmm. I thought it'd be really fun to skate to, and we put it together, and then I had all kinds of remorse. It was like, I don't know if this is going to work. This is, you know, maybe it's just too hard, or I don't know. All those doubts that you have when you're putting something new out in front of people. And even the night before, we were doing Stars and Ice for the first time that season, I had a really rough run through of the program, and I almost just said, let me just do an old number, and we're just going to forget this crazy experiment of Walk This Way. And then there wasn't enough time to do anything else. I was closing the first half, and I go, okay, I guess I'm doing Walk This Way. And I went out and I did it, and the response was unbelievable. So it was like, oh, well, that worked. Okay. Let's just hang on to this. And it became kind of a, you know, kind of a go-to number for me in any situation. I used it for competitions. I used it for exhibitions, obviously. And we designed it to be a competitive short program, just in the way that there's a footwork sequence. There were spins, you know, all different kinds, combinations, jumps, you know, everything that was in there was, you know, it could be used as a competitive short program. And so the biggest kind of competition victory I've ever had, you know, was 10 years after my Olympics, was a pro competition called the Gold Championship. And I actually beat two guys that I'd never really beaten before. And I won the night. And it was one of those days that was so amazing that I never wanted it to end. And so I stayed up until the sun came up, because it was so special to me. So, you know, it was like those moments, you know, they happen, you know, out of you, the harder you work, the luckier you get, right? So for this, it was just one of those things where I worked super hard, and then on the night, everything kind of showed up. You know, I did almost unexpectedly. You know, I would always make a mistake competing against those guys because I thought I had to be perfect. And on that night, I just, you know, allowed myself to relax and just enjoy the moment. And all the preparation just showed up, and it was just a great, great, great night.
Scott Hamilton, author of the new book, Finish First. Scott, we're so pleased that you had some time to give us today. We're absolutely thinking of you all the time. You are you and your family in our prayers. The book, of course, Finish First. We know what a hard worker you are to embrace this mindset, write about it, and finish first. Thank you, Scott Hamilton, for joining us today.
Well, thank you. And I just really pray that, you know, this book gets in the hands of the people that need it the most. And you know, people enjoy the read. It's fun. I mean, it's not oppressive. It's not, you know, they're just factoids or whatever. It's meant to be an enjoyable, entertaining read that, you know, hopefully will light a fire under somebody's tail. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate your time. And I really appreciate this platform to promote the book.
Well, thank you again. And we'll put links up to where you can find the book at Scott Hamilton's website. But thank you, Scott Hamilton. What a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye.
My thanks to Scott Hamilton, his team, and everyone who made this interview come together. To learn more about Scott Hamilton's new book, Finish First, please check out our website. And thanks to all of you, my wonderful audience, for your charming, encouraging, and advice-driven emails with show and topic suggestions. I love them, so please keep them coming at info@notold-better.com. Join me for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.